The more you lead your business from explanation mode, the weaker your brand becomes. And most people don't even realize they're doing it. They think they're being clear. They think they're creating great content with a strong message. They think they are adding value. What they are actually doing is teaching their audience to doubt them. And in this episode, we talk about the hidden habits that repel premium clients before your call to action even reaches them. We all love that sound. But what we love even more is when it becomes the standard. Clean, consistent, every single day. Without losing yourself in a business that looks successful on the outside but feels empty on the inside. This isn't about building something profitable that drains you. This is about building something that lasts. With full body conviction, with presence, with this is exactly where I belong energy. By architecting a brand that holds cult status. A brand that works for you even when you're not pushing, posting or proving. A brand that doesn't convince, it commands. Welcome to Cult Status, the podcast for global coaching leaders and creative visionaries that turn their brands into cult-like companies. I'm Ramona Ochsenbauer. Creative director, brand architect, and the woman behind cult-like productions and cinematic brands that turn attention into obsession. You're not here to play safe. You're not here for compromises. You're here to build a world people want to belong to and to ride the rules as you go. So fasten your seatbelt, because this is where brands stop being content and start becoming culture. A few years ago, making 10K months was the ultimate goal. I remember vividly how I aimed for those 10K months. I did everything to achieve that. And also, I thought when I reach those 10K months, then I'm invincible. I can do anything. I'm a millionaire. I can do whatever the F I want. We both know that's not the case. We both know that 10K months were just the beginning for you, for me, for the entire online space. Because today we are far beyond the 10K months. You are far beyond 10K months. But there's a problem with the way you talk about them. Not the 10K months, but your current wins, your achievements, the money you make, the wins of your clients, all the things you achieved in the last couple of years, months, weeks, days, because everywhere you scroll, you see things like this. I made 10K from one reel, but let me give you some context. Or something like, here's my client win, but also see what it took her to achieve that. Here's why this might not happen for everyone. I don't want to give false expectations. You see all the buts, you see people describing a win, a achievement, a money win or something else, a win in terms of how many people joined their space, what kind of live event they hosted, what caliber of clients they sign up. And then they add the but. They add the explanation. They add one more detail that on the surface looks honest, responsible, grounded, but what does it express energetically? It's a disclaimer. Don't get me wrong, I love the transparency. I love that people are talking transparently about their wins and what it took them to get there. Because this is something that is so, so much needed in the online space. It's 2026. And we are far beyond the money wins without context. And we need more women who tell the truth. But, and here we need a but, it's especially the women who are transparent and honest either way, who celebrate their wins, their success, their achievements, and immediately soften it, explain it away, so no one gets uncomfortable, or even worse, develop expectations they don't want to fulfill. Because this is something that I see so often, especially with high achieving women, with women who have so great wins. They stop sharing them. Because in the past, they made the experience that when they share their wins without explanation, without context, they attract victim clients. This is why they now start to explain everything, what it took to create that result, to not attract people who expect them to create those results for them. This is why explaining might feel strategic. Like saying these things like, here's why this might not happen for everyone, or this needs a certain amount of work and certain amount of effort to not attract the clients, to not attract the victims. But it's not strategic. It's emotional. It's the most emotional response you can have to your own wins, to your own achievements. As long as you explain why you did it, how you did it, why it needs some work, some effort, you still attract those victim clients. Why? Because the caliber of clients you want to attract, they know that. They've already done certain things in the past. They achieved certain goals. They put in the work. They put in the effort. They are grown-up humans. They know that it's not like, okay, I'm just doing this and then all the money flows to me. I just have to open the door. I have to start to receive. They know that it takes work to build a global company. They know that it takes work to build an empire. They know that it takes work to build and lead a movement. You don't have to tell them that. This is why I want to dive into a few examples with you inside this episode, because I know that you're not doing these things consciously. You're doing them subconsciously. And if you feel called out at one or two of my examples, then you're welcome. Make the best of it. And we already talked a lot about wins. And there lies one of the subconscious patterns that immediately dilute your brand. You share a win, like a money win, a high cash month, a certain number, a high sale, the highest ticket sale you've ever made, something your clients did, the amount of people that joined your paid challenge, your sold out live event, great things you did. And before anyone can think something about it, you rush into managing their reaction. They don't have the chance to react by themselves, and you try to manage it by explaining why it worked, why it is not always like this, why it was not always like this, by saying, I'm not sharing this with you to brag. Of course you share this to brag. We need you to share this to brag because you're the one who is the trailblazer. You are the one who goes first. You are the one who opens space. Of course it is your job to brag. And by saying, I'm not saying this to brag, what are you doing? You're softening your win, your achievement. You make it smaller as it is. You make yourself smaller as you are. And you're doing these things not because they are necessary, or because it's something you want to read in your mentor's post. You do it because you're afraid of being judged. And I know that you already did a lot of work with these things. Your money mindset, your limiting beliefs, all these things. But we both know that these things come back. They wear a costume. They get smarter. They sneak their way inside your mind. By wearing fake glasses, a fake beard, and now it's your integrity. It's your wish for transparency. It's your wish for telling the truth that stops you from shining as bright as you are. Because the moment you explain your success, before someone questions it, you've already handed them the power to question it. You handed your audience the power to question you, your wins, your brand. You teach them to doubt the things you are saying. It's not them, it's you. Which is what kills your authority? What then leads to those victim clients you don't want to attract? Which then leads to repelling premium clients, the ones you want to attract? Because explanation like these things is why it worked, why it's not always like this, why you have to put in a certain amount of work to achieve that. That's not neutral. It's something you position yourself with. When you explain everything, you position yourself below the buyer. Because you're saying, here's my reasoning, please agree with me. You're not just saying the things and let it stand there as a statement. You are explaining why you are saying this. But powerful brands don't argue for their decisions. Like luxury brands don't explain their pricing. They don't say, oh, I have to put in so much work for this design and we have these and these and this cost summing up in the background. This is why it's that high price. Or they don't say, oh, there's this luxury bag and we have those clients who buy those bags, but don't get it twisted. They put in so much work to make the amount of money they made so that they can afford to buy our bag. I've never seen that, and I'm pretty sure you didn't either. Leaders don't explain every move. They lead. They don't explain. They lead. They are busy leading. There is no time to explain why they are doing things a certain way. But they just do it. And they lead by example. And as soon as I personally quit all these explanations, when it came to my wins, when I didn't explain why I sold a 92K package this year, how I did it, and just said I did it, I had less reaction to my posts. There were less people that were agreeing to me. As soon as I stopped creating content in a way of this was my win, or this is my win, but I put in all the work, I did that, I made this decision, and I went through this hard time, and this is what I needed to hold in order to achieve that. I had less reaction because I had less victim people under my post who said, yes, it is so hard, and I know that. Yeah, business is hard. I had less engagement, less reactions under my posts, but I started to have the right people in my DMs. The ones who wanted the link without question. The ones who joined my 5K, 10K, 62K packages as a first-time buying client without needing the ping-pong over days and sleeping over everything. And they turned out to be the dreamiest clients inside my containers. Because it's not always only about the selling process. If someone is someone who doesn't ask many questions, the dreamiest clients can be the ones who ask 2, 3, 4 questions before they make the decision. But I also had the dreamiest clients inside, and still have, of course, the dreamiest clients inside my containers who are self-led, who know what they want, who know that it takes effort to build something so big no one else has ever achieved it before. Because I stopped explaining my wins and I stopped to defend my achievements. Because as long as you explain why you have certain achievements, why it's possible for you, what it takes to achieve that, premium clients are bored. They think, I know that, babe. I know that. And scroll on. And we already talked about the thing with, I'm not saying this to brag, but. Every time you use a but, you just can't forget the first part of your sentence. Every time you have a but in your hook, may it be, I made that achievement, but. Or, I'm not saying this to brag, but. It's not a good hook. We don't want the but. You have sometimes the case that a but is a good thing, but in 99% of the times it's not. Because when you say things like, I know this might sound crazy, but I don't know who needs to hear this, but I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. Sorry, not sorry. By using those terms, every sentence gets padded, softened, rounded at the edges. And when you soften every statement you make, you teach people to take you softly. You teach people to doubt what you are saying. To not take things for granted when they are from you. Because power doesn't need cautioning. It needs power. It needs edges. It makes a woman standing to her word. It takes a woman who says something and truly means it. Without softening, without the buts. Because when you tend to soften your message, that's when you need more words to sell. That's when you need more selling angles to convince people. That's when you need more content pieces, more touch points, a better visual branding. Because everything you say is weaker. You need sharp words. You need sharp statements. You need to be the one when she says something, she truly means it. When people conceive you as that, then you don't need many words. Then you don't need that much content because everything you post has a much deeper effect, has much more impact, has much more influence. That's why most people don't have a messaging problem. You don't have a messaging problem. The online space is one of the industries in which we have messaging at such a high level. It's excellent. I already talked about that in another episode because we developed a messaging level inside this industry that is not matched. A few years ago, it was enough to just say, hey, bring your business to your next level, bring your health to your next level, or it was just enough to be online because not many people have been online. But in 2020-ish, 2021, we started to improve the messaging. And people got so good in the messaging field. There is no other industry that comes close to the excellence of messaging or in messaging as we have it in our industry. This is why there will be that ceiling, and the ceiling is super close already, where it's not enough to get to create better messaging because you experience yourself. You are good at messaging. You put in so much work in getting better and improving. And as soon as you start using other words, better messaging, using other phrases, your whole community, because they are looking up to you, they start using it all also. And then you develop it again, and then you get better again, and your community does the same, your colleagues do the same, your competition does the same. Which is why messaging is not the solution, and also not the problem. Because you need better messaging, because you teach your community to doubt you. This is why you need all the selling angles. And by believing that lie that you need better messaging, what are you doing? You're explaining more. But the solution is not in explaining more. It's in explaining less. Becoming quote-unquote better at messaging. Yes. But not becoming better at messaging, but becoming better in less explaining. Becoming better in saying more by saying less. And we're not done here yet. Because all these things, they happen so subconsciously that you don't even realize you're doing them. And after this episode, I want you to go through your Instagram, through your emails, and delete all those things, all those quiet sentences that create noise, that explain, that weaken your message. And one more example, I have two more, but the next example I want to give you is one that is subtle. It's super subtle, but it's deadly. It is saying things like, I don't usually sell like this, but, you know, we have again the but. I don't usually sell like this, but. I didn't even plan to offer this, but. People, but. Oh. People kept asking, so I thought I'd share. Sometimes you're still apologizing for your own offer. And the moment you apologize for selling, you tell buyers it might not be worth wanting. Let that one sink in. I say it again. Sometimes you're still apologizing for your own offer. And this subtle things, like I didn't even plan to offer this, but. And at the moment you apologize for selling, and may it be as subtle as that, you tell buyers, especially high ticket buyers, that it might not be worth wanting. And I already told you, as soon as I quit all those things, all these examples I'm giving you in this episode, my content got quieter. I had less engagement, less likes, less comments. But demand increased. Not because I told people more, not because they suddenly knew more, but because they felt safer with my content, with me as the leader, with buying from me. Because clear direction creates safety. And safety creates decisions. And as long as you're explaining, as long as you are apologizing for offering them something they need in their life, because this is the reason why you created, because there are people, and it's your target audience, the people that need that, that can change their life based on that. And as long as it feels unsafe, unsafety, which is something you create by explaining, by apologizing, they won't buy. Because decisions need safety, and safety needs clear direction to be created. And you want your people to make decisions. The worst thing you can have or you can create is many people that interact with your content that tell you, oh, I love this so much. I love that dress. You are so inspirational. I love your content. Oh, this is the best content piece I've ever seen. Oh, I'd love to work with you. But this is not what you want to create. You don't want to tell people how good your things are. You want them to take decisions or to make decisions. You want them to join your world. You want them to feel safe by making a decision. You want them to feel excited, of course. You want them to feel like they belong somewhere. Yes. But especially you want to create that safety that they can make decisions. And this is something you kind of delete. The possibility to create safety is something you delete by explaining. And I have one last example for you inside this episode. Because another thing I see everywhere is, before anyone asks, so for those who are confused, let me clarify. As soon as you use terms like this, you're not leading anymore. You start managing how people might react. Which is exactly another moment where you give power to your audience, to people who might see what you've posted. You create an environment in which they can doubt. Because in the moment you use words like clarify, confuse, ask, if you're wondering if, what are these kind of words? They are implementing there is room for doubt. They create doubt. They create questions. They eliminate all the certainty, all the safety your clients need to make a decision. They are not clear. Because in the moment you say, let me clarify, what do you actually say? I was not clear before. My communication was not clear before. Maybe you are not clear. Which creates doubt. And again, doubt is nothing you want. You want certainty. You want safety. You want direction. And nothing less. All these small sentences you add to your content without really realizing it are the ones that are killing your brand. Day by day by day by day by day. Because the more you use them, the weaker your brand becomes. The less people see you as the leader. And you need them to see you as the leader if you want them to follow. This is also why my work, the blockbuster brand architecture, the creative direction, doesn't start with better messaging. Better messaging is like a patch you can put on that might create the feeling of scaling, but it's just a patch. It's not the solution. My work doesn't start with louder content, and it definitely doesn't start with more strategy. It starts with removing the noise, with deciding what no longer needs to be explained. Because it's not only the thing that you start explaining yourself in a way of lowering your voice, your value, your achievements, your wins, your clients' wins, but it's also that you explain things inside your messaging that also could be expressed by your brand without the need of you saying a word. It starts with clarifying what the brand, aka your brand, stands for, with what you want your people to feel, what version of your high-level clients you want them to see inside your world. Because creative direction is not about doing more. It's about precision. It's about intention. Because that's the point where brands stop feeling busy and start feeling powerful. Cult status begins in the moment, explanation ends.